Good morning. It is great to be with you this morning. My name is Reverend David Beduza, or as I like to be called, Pastor Dave. It is a joy to be able to share with you God's Word and what He has laid on my heart for you this morning. I trust that you are in a place where you can worship the Lord freely. I just want to encourage you during this time to continue to enjoy God's presence. And it may be difficult because of what we're going through, but nonetheless, we have come together this morning to worship the Lord. And I just trust that you can set aside the busyness of your life or other thoughts and anxieties. Cast all your cares upon them because because He cares for you. And so this morning, I just want to introduce myself, to share with you my heart, and then to just go into God's Word and just share with what He has impressed on me for you this morning. And I look forward to being able to connect with you in some way, shape, or form down the road. Before we begin, let's just open with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank You for this day. For Lord, this is the day that You have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunities that we have to worship You. Lord, I never would have thought 5 years ago that I would be doing a Zoom worship service. But Father, this is the way in which You have given us an opportunity to come together and to worship You. Father, we thank You for Your love. Lord, Your love is demonstrated through Your word. But Lord, Your love to us is available today. And so, Lord, I thank You for that. And I pray that each person, Lord, this morning is ready to receive Your love and to embrace it. And Lord, to be changed by Your love. Father, thank You for just the way in which You're continuing to be at work in our lives. Sometimes it's hard to see You in the midst of our struggles and storms. But Lord, we know that You are there. And so, Father, I ask this morning that You would open our eyes to see You more clearly and to recognize, Lord, opportunities by which we can give thanks to You for Your love. Lord, we ask that You to be with us during this time. Father, may the words from my mouth be Your words, and may they pierce the hearts and souls of each person here. And Lord, we long to receive the fullness of You. But until that day, Lord, may we rejoice with one another and look to Your word and be in relationship with You. We give You thanks in Your name. Amen. There were three men marooned on an island. Suddenly a genie appeared and said, "What would you like to have? I will grant each one of you one wish." The first man says, "I miss my family back home in Toronto." And whoosh, he was taken back. The second man said, "I miss my coworkers back in Vancouver. I used to enjoy working with them and going into town with them and or going into work and just spending time with them. And it was a good place and I really enjoyed that." And whoosh, the second man was gone. The third man sat for a while thinking and thinking and thinking, and finally he goes to the genie and he says, "You know what? I'm lonely. I wish my friends were back here." No matter the situation or circumstance you are being faced with, know that God is there. Now, beyond knowing that God is there, know that He is at work in your life to bring you closer to Himself. What is it that God desires from you? What is it do you think that God is asking you this morning to do? Well, for me, it is improve my relationship with Him. Not only to improve my relationship with Him, but improve my relationship with Him through relationships with others. And that is not easy in this day and age with COVID and all these restrictions and things and the ways that we have to connect. It is very difficult. But I want you to know this morning that it is not impossible, that nothing is impossible with God. And so no matter where we're at, I want us to think about this morning the relationship that God wants for us and for His people and how we can play a part in that. See, there's three things that I think God loves and requires from us, and that is relationship, obedience, and trust. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the significance of relationship, and through that comes obedience and trust. And I trust that you will hear your life, examples in your life where you have been in a relationship with God and where you've sensed this obedience and this growth in obedience and this growth in your trust with God. So from the very beginning, Genesis, God created man in his own image for relationship. Now, God knew that man would fall, and he knew that man would stumble, and he knew that man would come short. And so he began to draw us into himself through a relationship with him. And I want to share with you this morning ways in which God has demonstrated and drawn me personally into a relationship. And I want to correlate my journey with Scripture. And I want you to think about, as I'm doing this, ways in which God has done the same for you. So before I begin, I want to let you know a little bit about myself. First of all, I love people. I love people. I love relationships with people. I have always been a people person. As long as I can remember, I have always wanted to be around people. When I think back to my younger years, I can recall how much I was gravitating towards groups of people and people that would make good decisions and just have a good time, but at the same time, just be safe. And I'm thankful for the people that were in my life that came alongside of me and entered into a relationship with me and at the same time kept me safe and even drew me closer and closer to God. And I will share with you a little bit later into the message about who I am as a result of that. When I think back to my younger years, it's almost impossible to put into words how much I needed people, how much I needed relationship, and I did not like to be alone at all. And I believe that God doesn't want us to be alone. He wants us to be in a relationship with Him, first and foremost. But I think secondly, He wants us to be in a relationship with one another. And so today I'm really going to challenge you because in the midst of what we're going through, this is my first time meeting you and you see me, I don't see you. And so I just trust that as we think about developing relationships and in the various forms and the way in which we are in today, first and foremost, how is your relationship with God? We are all on a journey, aren't we? So I want to ask you this morning, where are we going? Where are you going? And who is coming with you? What is your purpose on the journey? Are you destination driven? A little bit about myself. I am the youngest of three children. I was raised in a military home, but at a young age, I was blessed to be able to be relocated to High River, Alberta. And we lived three doors down from the Church of the Nazarene. And we just so happened to pull up one Sunday morning in the U-Haul to our brand new home. And perfect timing. As soon as we pulled in to our house, the pastor and his wife were pulling up to the curb for the church for the morning service. And so right from the very beginning of my young years in High River, Alberta, I was drawn into the church through this connection, this instant connection that took place from Mr. Craig and Mrs. Craig. And so I want you to know that the relationships that I've had, they have a starting point and they have a destination, that ending destination. And so I want us to think this morning about this. And so for myself, as a young man, this the youngest of three, I was able to connect with a young man who has become my best friend. And over the years, since a young age of eight, I'm now in my late 40s. We have been the best of friends and been mentors to one another and accountability partners and just encouraging each other on our discipleship journey. And so for me, I am blessed to have him in my life. And so he is a great friend. But more than that, God knew I needed more. And God knew that I needed more relationship and a deeper relationship, not just with himself, but with others. And so through that, God blessed me with my beautiful wife, Tammy. And so we are actually celebrating today our anniversary, which was back on Thursday, 26 years of marriage. And the last 2 years we've had to do it COVID style, which I'm not happy about because I wanted to get to someplace really sunny and tropical, but that is unfortunately doesn't get to happen. But the reality is God is still at work and he is blessing our marriage. And he is through that, he has really blessed us by having blessed us with four wonderful children. Our youngest is 16, Ashley. And then we have Caden, who's a little bit older. He's 18. Colton is 21. And Connor is turning 23. And so those four children are such a blessing to me in my life and to my wife. And this past year, we were able to grow our family a little bit more. Our oldest boy, Connor, got married, and he has a beautiful wife, Dana, who just fits our family dynamics and our pieces so perfectly. She's a wonderful soulmate to Connor, and so we are so blessed to have Dana in our family as well. I feel like I could literally spend the entire time talking about relationship with myself and how God has done this, but as we're going through this, I want to go into God's Word, and I want us to think about how we develop a relationship with God. Billy Graham says, "My one purpose in life is to help people find a personal relationship with God, which I believe comes through knowing Christ." That's powerful. I love that. I'm going to say that one more time. Billy Graham says this, and I just love this. "My one purpose in life is to help people find a relationship with God, which I believe comes through knowing Christ." Isn't that wonderful? So I want to ask you this morning then, how are we to engage in a relationship with God? Well, there are three ways in which we are to engage in a relationship with God. And God gives us three tools to better our relationship with Him. And not only that, but it also engages and builds our relationships with others if we follow these three things. The first one is to pray. Simply pray. And so I want to ask you this morning, how is your prayer life? Are you a faithful prayer warrior? And what does prayer look like to you? As a father of four, my wife and I, we wanted our relationships with God to be open for our kids to see and to hear. And so we taught our children at a young age that the best relationship they could have is with Jesus. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and to be blessed to have the Holy Spirit dwell within us and to guide us and lead us. And so we would often illustrate prayer as a simple conversation with your best friend. And so I remember in my time pastoring in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, we had a prayer breakfast on a Wednesday morning, and quite simply the agenda was simple. It was just to teach children how to pray. And we would bring them together, and my wife would make a breakfast, and we would have upwards to 35 kids come, and we would sit around the table as my wife was providing breakfast. I would just spend time listening to them, and we would bring all their thoughts and their prayers and petitions and their requests to God in prayer. And some of the prayers, I have to be honest with you, they were the most cutest things ever. One of the little boys who was, I think, 5 or 6 years old, he was learning to be potty trained, and he was so excited when he learned how to use the bathroom without needing the pull-ups and diapers and stuff. And so we would celebrate that. Another one would, another young woman lost her cat and the cat came back. And so we were able to celebrate that and pray. And so it was so exciting to learn and journey with these children the effects of prayer. So prayer is important. Devon Franklin says this: prayer is important. It's the cornerstone of our relationship with God, our private time with the Creator. In addition to that, preparing and taking action is as important as praying. Preparation is for our benefit and edification. Preparation is also bold faith and action. You pray because you believe God is going to do what you've prayed for. But we have to put in work and prepare so that when the harvest comes, we're ready. I love that quote. Praying is something that I believe as Christians, we profess we do, but I believe each and every one of us, without casting a stone to judge, I believe that we can all do it better. And I want you this morning to know that in my journey of a relationship with God, the first and foremost thing that comes to mind in my checklist of how I'm doing in my relationship is, how is my prayer life? How is my communication? Is it open? Is it wonderful? Is it good? As I'm celebrating my anniversary, prayer is communication. and communication with one another is so important as well. I couldn't be in a relationship with my wife if I didn't have a good communication with her. Maybe I could, but it would be very dysfunctional in my opinion. And so I thank God that we, my wife Tammy and I, have such a good open communication with one another, where we share with one another our journeys and our experiences and our heart and our passion for what God has for us and even for each other. So prayer, the first thing. I know that through prayer comes a desire for His Word. As we talk to God, as we reflect on God, as we reflect about who He is in our life and the impact, that draws us into the second point, reading the Word. My children, at a young age, my son, I was raised with rap music, so I'm sorry if you are not a fan of rap music, but I progressed from bad rap music into Christian rap music, and for that I also began to love poetry. And I remember as a young boy struggling with trying to remember things, and I would have a hard time with remembering names, and I'm not good with names, by the way, so please forgive me. And I'm glad that this morning we're not face to face, because I would struggle with a lot of your names. So but I do believe it's important. And so at a young age, God helped me remember things and remember the Word, the Scriptures, by creating poetry or rap music. And so one of the songs, I'm not going to perform it for you, so maybe that'll be a campfire time. But I just remember one of the songs that my boys and I wrote together. It was, there are three ways to communicate with God: to pray, read the Word, reflect, and obey. And I have to get the lyrics down because I can't remember all the lyrics, but prayer is the key. It opens up the channel for us to be able to get into the Word. So Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 tells us this: keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Romans 10:17 says this: consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of about Christ. So we need to read the Word. We need to know that the Word is coming into us. My wife Tammy, her favorite Bible verse is Psalms 119 verse 11. And it's this: I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. In order for us to have God's word hidden in our hearts, we need to open up the book. We need to read God's word, spend time in it, and reflect on it. The last thing we need to do, obviously, after praying, reflecting, or praying on about our relationship with God and talking to God, communicating with God, and reading God's word, the second thing. The third is we need to obey God's word. And obeying is perhaps the most challenging thing for us to do. Moses gives these words of wisdom to the priest and prophets, or the priest and the people, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And it says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. Now, if you know the journey that Moses was having with his people, and he was on with his people at the time, you will know that perhaps they didn't always follow those words. They didn't follow the counsel that Moses had, and they certainly didn't follow the words that God had for him. And as a result, they were on a journey. They were on a journey perhaps a lot more difficult than what God had planned for them, but yet through it, God was faithful. God was there, and he was protecting his people, and he was teaching them, he was showing things, and God's plan was in place. And so I want to ask you this morning, no matter where you're at this morning, no matter how you're feeling or what you're feeling about your relationship with God, are you willing to open up the communication lines with God? Are you willing to open up and pray and seek God through prayer and talk to him? Are you willing to open up God's word and be ready to be able to reflect on what it says and to be able to meditate on it and to maybe pierce your heart and to have it become a part of who you are? Are you ready to obey it? Are you ready to perhaps take the words and the maybe the words that God has said and just put it into action? James chapter 1, 22 to 25 says this, and I love the book of James because for me it's my guide to practical living. And it says this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. I want to close with a story, or not a story, but an experience that I had in my life that was a game changer. It was one that perhaps not only just challenged me to recognize who I am, but it really brought out the mission that God had for me. And I want to share this with you. I was 33 years old. My wife and I had just finished off a year, a tumultuous year, owning a computer retail store business in Sylvan Lake, Alberta, where we live. And it just wasn't working out. The retail element was just the cost of overhead of keeping a storefront was so much, and we weren't really making any money. We were barely getting by. And so we decided, you know, this is tough. And so all of a sudden, and I mean all of a sudden, three men came into our store one day and they said, we believe that God wants us to have this building. And so we want to propose that we take over your building for you, your lease or whatever your payments are. We want to take them over. We want to release you from this contract. And we feel that God wants this building. And I'll be honest with you, at that time, we were stewards in the church. We were Sunday school. I was a Sunday school teacher, and you know, I was serving on the board, and you know, we were faithful in attendance, and my wife was working with the children. And it was interesting because our store was, as I said, a retail store. It was a computer store. And when these three men came in and they said to me that God wanted them to have this building for a purpose, it blew me away. It was an answer to prayer. And I was stunned because my wife and I were just talking about how hard it was to be able to be released from that contract, which was set to expire 6 months later. But we knew that there would be a tough 6 months. And so when these three men arrived and said that we want to take over this contract, this rental agreement, immediately, I said, how immediate is immediate? And they said, pack your things and we'll take over. And so my wife and I didn't really take much deliberating. We were both kind of on the same wavelength. We talked a lot about this. We'd communicated with one another. We'd prayed about it a lot, but never had the release. And all of a sudden, these three guys show up and they released us from this contract. And they said, we'll assume the rental agreement and we're going to make a longer agreement with the landlord so that I know they'll be okay with it. And so we left and we went. We packed up all of our things, and it just so happened that the following week was our time of refreshing and relaxing at our camp, at our church camp. And so when we were there, it was a Wednesday evening, and we're sitting in the sanctuary. There was about, you know, close to 600 to 800 or maybe even 1,000. There's a lot of people there. I want to say close to 1,000 people. And we're sitting in this big sanctuary, and there's an evangelist, and he's a very emphatic, wild, crazy, happy evangelist. And he's yelling and screaming and praising God, going back and forth across the platform. And it's hard not to hear him. And I remember a moment come in the message where I literally became deaf. I could see him, but I couldn't hear him. And I remember checking my ears and I remember thinking, what's going on? Why can I not hear this man? I can see his lips moving. I know that he's speaking with a lot of enthusiasm, but I don't hear him. And suddenly I hear the voice of God. And now that was a game changer. That was one, a moment in my life that forever changed who I am. And God said, do you love me? And I remember just being blown away by just the very not being able to hear. And then reflecting on the words for, I don't know how long it was, but it seemed like forever. But I remember saying afterwards, yes, I love you. And then God saying to me so clearly, as if it's just the gentleman sitting next to me, God saying, I want you, I'm calling you into ministry. I want you to be a minister of the gospel. And I need to be honest with you, I froze, I panicked. This was something that I could not ever imagine myself doing. And so yet I remember doing the best thing that I could possibly do in that moment. I said to God in my mind as I'm having this conversation, if this is you, God, if this is what you want, speak to my wife. Because you've given me my wife. And I believe that if you're going to call me on something like this, you would want her to be a part of it. And so please speak to my wife, confirm it through my wife. And as I said that, instantly I got my hearing back and the message continued on with the evangelist. And I looked over and I saw my wife and there was nothing. Everything was fine. There was no conversation with God going on, in my opinion, and there's no hint of that. And I just remember being stuck. And I was blown away by this, and all of a sudden, you know, the message gets finished, and we you know, get our ice cream and get our kids off to bed, and we're laying in the camper, and I said, wasn't that a good message? And my wife said, yes, it was. God spoke to me. And I completely froze. And I completely froze, because this was the relationship changer. This is that moment in my life where God said, I so much want a relationship with you. I'm going to change the dynamics of what you think you're going to do, David. And I'm going to give you something completely different. And the words that God said to my wife were, I'm calling you to be obedient. I want you to be obedient. And my wife didn't know what obedience was in that moment. She didn't know what she had to be obedient to. And so when she shared that, and then I shared with her my conversation that I had with God in that same sanctuary, needless to say, we were up all night. We stayed awake, and we couldn't sleep at all, because the impact of that experience was something we'd never experienced before. And so we stayed awake and we wrestled with it. We prayed and we talked about it. And we looked at scripture, and we just couldn't believe that this was something that God was calling me to do and calling us to do. And so I will share with you more in the journey at a later time. But God confirmed it, and he blessed me through the obedience of that. And so my relationship with God in that moment was changed. And so I want to ask you this morning as we close, how is your relationship with God? How is your prayer life? How is your reading of the Word? And are you ready and willing to step into obedience with Him? My prayer is that no matter what COVID is doing, or no matter what our situation is in this world, that we would become alive in Christ, that we would take the words as we've reflected on, as James talked about, as was written in Psalms, as Moses instructed, and we would take these words and they would become alive in us, they would shape us. And through that, may we become God's people. I thank you for the opportunity to come and to be with you without being with you, and I pray God's blessing upon you as you continue on in serving the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your love. Lord, I thank you for the relationship that you have with us and that you've called us into with you. Lord, I know that it is not easy, and that, Lord, you have given us many tools and instruments along the way for us to build our relationship. Father, I ask this morning that as we reflect on you, that you would allow us, Father, to be encouraged. Be encouraged in our conversation with you, in our prayer life with you. Father, may we be encouraged in our study time with you, as we read your word may become fresh to us. May it speak to us. May the words become alive. And Lord, may we put into action. May we be those that light in the community for you. Father, thank you for your people. I pray you'll bless them, that you'll keep them. Lord, I pray that you will just uphold them. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your church will be made alive, will be made new. And Father, may everyone around see you through what is going on in your church. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for this opportunity. I do look forward to hopefully coming to meeting you on the middle of May. And I pray God's blessing to you. Stay safe and God bless.